Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you, as always. Very excited about having our good friend Len Morella back on the show. Len is a guy with an incredible background, an extremely impressive credential. He's a West Point graduate. He worked in the military for a number of years, working with NATO. He's the author of two of my favorite books, In Search of Ethics. I should say my favorite book, because the other one is a second edition, In Search of Ethics, and he's our ethics expert, and he teaches this at West Point and to other people. Especially, I'm very happy to say he does a lot of work with young people, which is something that really needs to be done. And he's our good friend, Len Morella. Welcome back to the show.
Good to be back, Jim. It's always good to be back.
It's good to have you back, Len. Something happened in the last few days, that I thought about you, and I was so glad that we were having you on. It was just a coincidence that you were going to be on in the middle of all this. But as you probably know, the CEO of HP, Mark Hurd, I think is his name, resigned over the weekend, and under a cloud of suspicion of the terms, these are terms that are being reported, folks. Not my words. Sexual harassment, maybe an affair, some kind of expense report, inaccuracies, or we don't know exactly what's going on. There's a lot we don't know yet. But the fact is this guy who is probably one of the top three shining light CEOs in the last 10 years. Had to resign. I mean, he turned around HP, Len.
Well, you know what happens, Jim. Sometimes when you tell that first lie or that first indiscretion, it always resurrects itself to haunt you.
Right. Well, we don't know. We don't know what happened. And let me say this. Here's the thing.
I'm not sure who is more at fault, whether it's she or he, because that's one of those he said, you said type things.
Well, but here's the thing, though. See, and this is, to me, this is what I thought about, and you may not have been following this part. I don't have a life, so I kind of pay attention to these things. But I did see an ethical issue in this, Len. The issue is not to me whether he or she did anything and whether he fudged the I mean, it's hard to imagine a man who makes, you know, tens of millions of dollars a year would fudge a $350 or whatever the bill was, expense report. But that makes no sense. Why don't I just write the check, get the cash, and pay for it? But the issue is, what's the uproar that's arisen out of him being fired? To me, that's where the ethics is, Len. And I know you've been on vacation, so you may have missed some of this. But there are people now who are saying, "But wait a minute, you know, I don't care whether he did whatever he did with the woman or she with him. Maybe he fudged his report. Let's slap him on the hand, make him pay the money back. But look, he's cost the shareholders $10 billion. This guy's a great CEO. We shouldn't have let him go."
Well,
that's the ethical breakpoint right there.
I can debate that, Jim. I understand, because there are a lot of people who want to say that there's public ethics and there's private ethics, and people want to say there's medical ethics and there's business ethics and there's legal ethics, and I suggest to you there's only ethics.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, somebody, and I don't want to point the finger at him because I don't know the facts.
Right.
But someone who does something privately, even if it's small, will be more inclined to do something big if the opportunity presents itself.
Well, and again, the jury is still out. We actually do not know. What we do know is that the appearance of impropriety was enough that there was, and as it turns out, there was a 6-4 vote, 6-5 vote, something like that. It was not unanimous. It was very, very close on the vote by the board on whether to let this guy go. So there must have been compelling evidence, or they wouldn't have let this guy go who's been so successful. I mean, this HP was basically in the tank. And he turned the company around in the last 5 or 6 years. So he's got a lot of supporters. A lot of people think a lot of him. But what I keep hearing about is I don't care what he did. I've heard several people on television, you know, who know him. You know, they should have made that go away. He should have paid the money back. They should have slapped him on the wrist, because look what he's done to shareholders' equity. And what we're talking about here, Lynn, is Wall Street ethics. And when we come back after these messages, I want you to talk about that. I want you to talk about this part about the situational ethics and all that when we come back. We'll do that right after these messages, folks. It's 20 till. By the way, I should point out that Mark Hurd was one of his big cornerstones of his administration was ethics. Stand by. Quick break. 20 after. 20 till. Stay with us. And you ain't had it. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. Thanks for being part of my day. And my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Lots of stuff there. Don't forget the poll question on the homepage, which is all this week is all about what should we do with the healthcare bill that's been passed? Should we leave it like it is? Should we repeal it? Or if you don't have enough information, you can tell us that too. That's one of the options. So go to the website, give us your answer. When you click on the response, your response, you will be able to see how the poll's going so far. Smallbusinessadvocate.com. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter and check out all the other things. Thousands of things. Something under a million pieces of content that will help you with your business. You can find the categories and handy arrangements that will help you to use our stuff better. And it's all free at smallbusinessadvocate.com. Having a great visit with our good friend, Lynn Morella, who's the author of In Search of Ethics, also now in his second edition. We're talking about ethical
standards. Now in his third edition.
Third, thank you. See, I don't have my third edition.
That's right.
And you'll have to get my copy. Thank you for reminding me, folks. You know what? It's third edition. That means it's the first two were very successful, and people want more of it. And I think that's what's going on right now, Lynn. I think I'd like to think that the more we have these discussions on ethics, the more people will gravitate to it. And I want to talk about that in a second, but I want to finish up on this thing with HP. Mark Hurd was fired, resigned, whatever, over this issue. There's some question about what he did or didn't do, but he was fired and the Larry Ellison came out, another great CEO of, was it Sun? I've forgotten which one he's the leader of. He came out and said that you know, they shouldn't have fired this, that it cost shareholders $10 billion. His company is one of the partners with HP. And his point was they shouldn't have fired him because he's a great guy and they've cost the shareholders $10 billion because the stock's gone down. Is that Wall Street ethics, Lynn?
Well, it sounds that way, Jim. And the thing is, he set a tone, or he tried to set a tone of ethical performance. And if you're going to talk the talk, you got to walk the walk.
Right.
And in this case,
really, that was a big deal to him, this ethical thing. In fact, I think he probably got fired some people if they didn't perform in a certain way. So go ahead.
Well, my thoughts are, you got to worry about this relativism. That's one of the big problems in our society, moral relativism. In other words, thou shalt not steal except on Tuesdays when I want to.
Right.
And thou shalt not, Mr. Employee, you shall not be indiscriminate, but I can do it on certain occasions.
Right.
So if you've got to set the standard, you've got to set the standard. Now, whether the punishment was an overkill for the crime, which seems to be a minor offense, but nevertheless an offense. So if you're going to talk the talk, Jim, you got to walk the walk.
Well, the thing that gets me, that kind of upsets me about this is the board, whether they decided, I'd like to think that the board made an ethical decision when they said, okay, this company stands on ethics. this executive has led by with those standards, and so now he has to be judged by his own standards, and therefore we have to take this action. I'd like to think that that's what the board did, and if they did, good for them, and we need to have more of that kind of behavior. Right?
Well, it certainly got your attention and my attention and lots of people's attention.
It sure did. But it demeans, it minimizes those standards, that behavior, if somebody else comes out and says, oh, he should have just paid the money back, and they shouldn't have fired him because it cost the shareholders $10 billion. Well, that's the counter argument, which demeans the ethical standards. What do you think?
I agree with that 100%. If you're going to talk the talk, you got to walk the walk. And if you're going to set the example, you got to set the example. In this case, again, I don't know what the specific facts are, but he seems to acknowledge the fact that he's done something wrong. And the issue with the board seems to be, was it wrong enough to fire him, or
right.
was it just wrong enough to be slapped on the wrist?
That's the point that I picked up on this that made me think about you, Lynn. And you coming on the show was not what he did or what the board did, but the reaction to what the board did. That all the different ways that people are reacting, and in my opinion, in different ethical ways.
Well, that's where this whole business of moral relativism comes in.
Yeah.
It's okay for somebody to be fired, but not the boss, because he's the boss and he has big impact, you know.
Right.
If you go, every great institution is a lengthened shadow of its leader. His character, her character, determines the character of the organization. So if the perception is that he hasn't lived up to his own standards, how do you enforce the ethics code at Hewlett Packard or any other place?
Here's another element to this, Len. He's leaving with $28 million in severance. Now, if he actually did violate the ethics, if he did do something that was egregious enough to be fired for, is there an ethical element to him leaving with that kind of money?
Well, what do you think, Jim?
I don't know. I'm having a little difficulty with this. He probably has
a contract that, you know, with that type of clause in it.
Yeah.
The question is there anything that can obviate that, you know, that clause?
But what does that say to our young people? Even if he was fired for ethical reasons, what does that say to our young people if he does something egregious enough to get fired and he still leaves and becomes a wealthy man just because he did that? What does that say?
It doesn't send a good message, does it?
It doesn't, does it? And I'm not trying to say his contract should have been violated. I'm just saying the circumstances around his firing are what's the most interesting ethical lessons to me.
You know, we had a similar situation at Enron. Enron had a code of ethics that had a huge document. And look at what happened there. You know?
Yeah. Hold on to that thought. We're going to come right back, and I'm going to let Lynn wrap us up on this topic and this idea of ethics. Remember what Lynn has taught us, folks, before. Ethics is devotion to the unenforceable. Stay with us, Tintil. Seven Till, I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks for hanging out with us. We got our good friend Lynn Morella back on the show with us. Now, third edition, In Search of Ethics, Conversations with Men and Women of Character, third edition, ladies and gentlemen. That's a very important book that gets to that level. Lynn, tell us how we can find your book and you, please, online.
Well, you can find it at Amazon.com. You can find it in most bookstores. If they don't have it, they can order it. Or you can just go to FocusOnEthics.com and get it right from the publisher.
FocusOnEthics.com.
Or go to my website, leadershipandethics.com.
Leadershipandethics.com. Check it out, either one of those folks. And you won't be. And I'll tell you what you're going to do. Buy two of these because you're going to want to give one away. Lynn, talk to us. Wrap it up for us. Wrap it up on this topic of, you know, I keep coming back to what you've taught us. Ethics is devotion to the unenforceable. And then I love the quote from Nobel laureate Albert Camus, the French literary Nobel laureate, who said, integrity has no need of rules. Wrap it up for us.
Well, you know, the absolute cornerstone of leadership, the absolute cornerstone of a successful, happy, healthy, inspirational life is character. You know, those qualities that make up your nature and shape your decisions and actions. and leaders of character for forever have been noted to seek to discover the truth, decide what is right, and then have the courage and commitment to act accordingly. So character, those moral qualities that make up your nature and shape your decisions and actions, and leaders of character and people of character seek to discover the truth, decide what is right, and then have the courage and guts and commitment to act accordingly.
What would happen, Len, if a presidential candidate from either party stood up and that was their main platform? You know, we get all these arguments back and forth about this piece of policy and that piece of policy. What if some presidential candidate stood up, and I don't care what party, stood up and said, well, kind of what you just said, and said, this is my platform, this is what America stands for and has stood for over the years, and all the things that we do, I want us to get back to that to that level, and I want to do something that Lincoln encouraged us to do 50 years ago, when he said, I want to appeal to the better angels of our nature. What about that, Len? What would happen if somebody did that?
If you had a presidential candidate who could say that and mean it and convey his sincerity of purpose, it would be a landslide.
Don't you think? I think people would be attracted to that.
People are irresistibly attracted to leaders of character.
But now, you know, there's somebody that I believe...
Has to be authentic, though. It has to be genuine.
There's somebody that I believe could pull it off. I don't think he will, but and that's somebody that, if I had to attribute that to anybody in Washington, I would attribute it to Joe Lieberman.
Well, he certainly had the courage to stand up to his own party and do what he thinks is right.
Yeah.
And he did a good job as a vice presidential candidate.
I don't know much more about him than anybody else, but that seems to be but instead we get embroiled in this policy and that policy, and then that's when the ethics starts to break down, I think.
Well, the temptations are so great that it takes a strong person to stick to his values.
What?
You know, the values that made this country great are all about respect and responsibility and truth and honesty and compassion and justice and freedom. If you could live up to those values, and if as a nation we continue to live up to those values, we'll remain free and strong.
But isn't by appealing to the angels of our better nature? And I love that. That came from I think it was the first inaugural address of Abraham Lincoln. If we could do that and get, and I maybe that sounds naive to some people, Len, but it seems to me that those kinds of intangibles, getting us to be proud of ourselves, to believe that America can return to what it was once upon a time, that's what will get this economy going, I think.
That's where you get synergy when people believe in those type of things. Matter of fact, it was Abraham Lincoln who also once said, "When I do good, I feel good."
Yeah.
And I think that happiness is a byproduct of service.
Are you and I old fogies in this? I mean, I think people are hungry for this kind of thing.
I think so too, and I don't think it's a function of age. I think what's happened is our young people are subjected to so many temptations and so many messages in our media, in our TV, in our schools, in our society in general. That it takes, you have to be a strong swimmer to swim upstream. The cultural tide of society is pulling us in the wrong direction.
But you won't regret it, young people and old people and people in the middle. You won't regret it if you behave that way. Len Barella, thanks for the inspiration. Thanks for the messages. Thanks for your example of ethical behavior. It's always a pleasure to have you with us.
It's always a pleasure to be with you, Jim. Thanks.
So much, Len Barella, ladies and gentlemen, In Search of Ethics, third edition, wherever books are sold. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you today, be guilty of committing a random act of kindness.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.